Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, the King, he's with us on site, brought to us by our friends at Fingers, Wings, and Other Things, your sports headquarters. Head over to FWAT any Monday for their 50-cent wings, or Tuesdays for $1 fingers. Go to FWAT.com, F-W-O-T, FWAT.com, to check out their daily specials. The King, Howard Askin, has brought the ring today. What's going on, King?
Hey, Tool, how are you?
Richie, answer the question. That ain't very nice.
That is good.
You know, Howard, here I was going to compliment you on what you're doing with the ring. You're raising money for charity. You were on the field for the Super Bowl. You're still laughing over there, by the way. And it was funny, but it wasn't that funny.
Well, I'm just Hammer trying to
just
figure out
funny.
What fits funny best for you. And it's just
Tool?
Tool. By the way, when you mentioned Entercom, I just tell you, people don't really care. But they bought another radio station in Philadelphia today.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed.
So it doesn't matter which one, but they bought a good one. So this company is like on fire.
I like it.
But nonetheless, we care about this radio station and our company.
Yes.
And we care about the Eagles.
Howard, you were on the field.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I saw you a bunch of times last
we
night.
We did indeed. So
you did?
You're on camera.
Yeah, thanks.
Why do you stand in front of the camera? I don't stand in front of the camera. I don't know what they're shooting.
You got the
green
light
headphones.
Kelly green Beats headphones
on.
Yeah,
I wore this. I wore everything the same from the NFC Championship game against Minnesota.
That's smart.
Because people started talking, well, why don't you wear the same thing? So I wore the same exact thing.
Good.
Right down to the socks. The underwear changed, but the socks.
Very nice.
All right, Howard, what did it look like to you where your vantage point, you're watching the game, what stood out to you from that vantage point?
Well, what I really watched most, because I wanted to see how he handled the situation, was Nick Foles. And I kept, when he came off the field, whether it was a good series or a series that wasn't successful, I always looked over to the bench and see what his body language was, how he reacted. And throughout the entire game, because I stand with one of the Eagles people, Zach Groen, who's in their PR department for the most part. Sometimes I get away from when I want to try to do things I'm not supposed to. but I said, you know, this guy's really relaxed. I mean, and that is important in that kind of game. Even when it was a series that wasn't successful, he was still the same guy, was still relaxed. I heard the audio afterwards and realized how really relaxed he was, but that's the one thing I noticed. I don't think they were any different during the game because they're always intense. I mean, the Rams game is a game that always came to mind to me because Carson Wentz, the players knew that he wasn't coming back that game, and they knew they had to win it, which it turned out to be a really big game.
Totally, yeah.
And he was so good. And I talked to Sean McVay at the owners' meetings, who I don't know how he knew me, but we knew me, so we struck up a pretty good conversation. And the play that I'll never forget, because it was coming at me where I was standing on the sidelines, the 3rd and 8 on his pass to Nelson Aguilar, which gave him a first down, which really kind of sealed the game. So I just wanted to see that Nick was the same guy, and he sure was. And that's what I really noticed. You know, during the game, you're still trying to look at the same things and see what's going on. I also remember before the Philly special, which ESPN is, they did some nice things last night, but they screwed it up. The play of the year had to be the Philly special. It's a big play in Super Bowl history next to the helmet catch. But this is this year. So during that play, and I didn't see it until I saw NFL films afterwards, I'm standing behind Doug. Now, I can't really hear them, but when he came over, I hear Merrill saying on the air, I don't criticize Merrill for this because he has opinion and Mike has his. So I'm always with, that's why I have the headphones on. I got to listen to the broadcast when they throw it to me. And Merrill said, Mike, they've got to kick the 3-point. They got to go for the field goal here. They've got to get the 3. So Joe McPeak's the producer. And if they wanted to come down, depending on how much time we have before they're going to run that play, I said, Joe, you can come down to me. But I'm telling you right now, they're not running. They're not kicking a field goal. They are going for
it.
And I'll never forget they're going for it. And I really kind of got excited. You know, this was a really big play. I mean, when you score right before the half, it really kind of demoralizes the other team. Matt Ryan told me that. I played golf with Matt a few weeks ago. And the play, he remembers two plays. And the one play he mentioned first was the ball off the defender's knee where Torrey Smith caught it, and the Eagles ended up going for three and getting the three. He said, if they didn't get the three and we did, that changes the whole game because it's a six-point swing right before the end of the half. So he identified, not the Julio Jones play. First, he said, he did identify the Julio Jones when the last play of the game. But those plays are so significant right before the end of the half. And then, you remember so many things. And I remember telling Zach, Patriots take the lead. He says, we're done. I said, nope. Because I'm thinking back
to to clarify, you're not saying Zach Ertz. You're saying Zach, a member of the Eagles.
I talked to him. Well, Zach Groen from the Eagles. Yeah. So, Zach would never say that because they knew that they were good.
Right.
So he said, I think we're done. I said, no. I said, I've watched Nick the whole game. He is so relaxed. Here's part of his legacy. He's going to march this team right. And, you say those things and you don't believe it. You just hope it. I said that, and I believed it just because of the way he was. So these are the things that I remember from the game. And sure enough, now it took a couple big plays. Yeah. The fourth and one to Ertz was a really big play. The touchdown, which Chris Collinsworth thought should have been reversed, but get over it, Chris. He was a runner after he caught the ball.
Yep.
So, and then the other thing I remembered, I started to shed tears towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
And it overcame me.
Did that surprise you, Harry?
I'm kind of an emotional guy, but I didn't think. I've watched so many games, and that's the only time I've ever done that. And the Phillies were that 80 Phillies team was my team. And I don't remember shedding tears for that. I just remember the excitement that I had because the Eagles have now, I told Mike Schmidt, I said, you guys are now number two. The Eagles, this is my greatest moment, is this team and this year. So I remember that. But you got to be in work mode because right after the game, Merlin, Mike can't get down. It's too crazy. So I immediately, they carry the broadcast until I'm starting to get interviews on the field. So I can't really start thinking back at everything that happened. And I didn't even start to think about it until maybe on the plane because when I got back to the room at 3:30 after the party, it was on the NFL Network, and I watched the game again.
Nice.
It was crazy.
Stay with me on this. The part of what made Doug's play calling so great in this game, it was brought up repeatedly by Chris Collinsworth. He was going to keep his foot on the gas.
Yep.
And he knew that even if they were ahead, it was like they were playing from behind because the New England Patriots will come back on you. That no matter where you sit, they are still the favorites. You got to play that way. At the end of the first half, Doug was interviewed. He talked about how the reason he went for it on fourth and did the Philly special was because he wasn't going to not let them score. They'd just driven the whole way down the floor. He wanted to stay aggressive. It occurred to me at that point, rewatching it for the third time last night, that maybe Ben McAdoo's interpretation of the difficulties the Eagles would have this year, they haven't dealt with success before. How do they deal with it? Maybe this applies to Doug, too, as a play caller. Do you worry that Doug, now that they are a better team than last year, they are the Super Bowl champions, do you worry that Doug will find it difficult to recapture that magic that was all born of being the underdog?
Well, he's going to be the same. And the one thing that you have to do in most games, now some games are going to be defensive struggles. I think the game in London could be a defensive struggle because Jacksonville's so good
you
defensively.
Better believe it. Yeah.
So, but you have to score touchdowns to win in the NFL. Kicking field goals, I realize kicking field goals is just okay. It doesn't do you enough good, especially in that game. And the other thing that players told me, and it comes from situations when the year before, media people and you know, people on WIP criticized Doug for going in on fourth down. And the year before, players told me, we love that. And we love that because he has confidence in us. And then we want to respond to his confidence in us as players, which is really kind of an important thing. And I'll give you, I think, what is a great example. The Philly special, they did not practice during the week of the Super Bowl. They practiced it for the Minnesota game. They went through a walkthrough at the hotel. Doug thought that Belichick was going to find some way to tape the practices. So he didn't want to practice it on the field. He did the walkthrough. And the week before, it didn't really go that great. Burton overthrew a couple of balls. But the fact that he had that confidence in them, regardless of when they actually ran it before the Minnesota game in practice, the players obviously stepped up and say, you know, he has confidence in us, and subconsciously or consciously, we're going to run this play the best that we've ever run it. And I think him as a coach, gaining that confidence is really important for a team that's not expected. Even when you're expected, there's still going to be times, because teams change and players change, you're going to need other players to gain confidence. For instance, defensively, which I know Doug doesn't handle as much of, but Sidney Jones has a good chance to be the starting corner. And if he is, they want to show confidence in him, too. He's going to be really good.
Me, too.
They're going to show confidence in him. So they're going to show their defense wasn't really good in the Super Bowl, but it doesn't matter. They made the play that they had to make at the end of the game with the strip sack, and then the Hail Mary is just a Hail Mary. But there's so many different things that I constantly think back on, and I you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. We can think about other teams. You know, that city will get over Machado not coming here and going to the Dodgers, which I think will come the end of the year. The city will probably get over the Sixers having a horrible offseason. But the Eagles, because there's so many good memories of what the Eagles did. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And the, you know, the ring, I wear the ring. There's not a lot of guys that wear the ring. I wear it pretty much every day because I'm proud to be part of our broadcast team, which I think is the best local broadcast in the NFL. I'm proud to be part of them, and you know that's why I got the ring. But I'm proud to be doing what I did on the sidelines, trying to do the best I can, and being there even with a broken leg this year and a second-degree hamstring tear, and I didn't miss a play, and I wouldn't miss a play. I'd crawl out there if I had to. It's just something about it, and that's why Mike Quick made an interesting point, and I don't think either one of you were at our golf tournament for our corporate sponsors.
We came afterwards.
Okay. Did you hear Mike said he wears the ring when he goes, Mike Quick, when he goes to events, and he lets people do what I'm doing today, try it on because he thinks the people should share in the excitement of what that Super Bowl was.
That's
and
good.
When people see the ring, and then when I tell little teeny boppers that Taylor Swift wore the ring before the show on Saturday night, then they get crazy.
Yeah.
So, and I had obviously,
well, Howard,
you've seen the picture.
You know
of that.
What's, yeah, you know what strikes me about that?
And then it's nice that Bruce Sally, today when people come and I'm letting them try on the ring, he's donating to the Eagles Autism Challenge, which Jeffrey Lurie has put so much effort into, and the people power that they have behind. Behind that is they raised over $2.5 million in the first year, and they're already starting on the next year. And I'm trying to do what I can because now I've gotten caught up in what is really good, and I have a nephew that's autistic. Jeffrey Lurie's brother is on the spectrum, so there's a passion behind that. And I'd love to see here at Zally's when people try on the ring and the little kids try on the ring and even the adults try on the ring, the excitement they have. Because it's a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And
it's an Eagles Super Bowl.
It's an Eagles Super Bowl.
Awesome. Howard, well done, man. Thank you for being here. Thank you for always
being here. By the way, Joe, I'll just leave you with this.
Yes.
Because I let it go by. The Sixers had an awful offseason. Awful. Because they're star hunting. They couldn't shoot straight. They got nothing. Even Kawhi went in their conference. And they lost the guy that said he was staying in Europe, and now he's going to sign with the Kings. Oh, my gosh. What did they do? They need a general manager.
We'll talk about that in 7 days.
Yeah.
Howard Eskin, Thursdays with the King, 888.
I'll be on the night, too, so I'll talk about it tonight, too.
Look at that. Howard gets a round of applause.
Yeah, hey, get a little louder out there.
What the hell? What about
still take pictures with you in the ring.
Wait, hold on. What about an applause for John Ritchie? He actually played for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right. Thank you.
You got the loser's ring. No,
The tool. All right, Joe to Cameron Generator. Hey, coming up at 12:30.
About TK?
At TK over there. 12:30. 12:30 today, you're going to hear how our show sounded when it opened on Monday, February 5th. The raw emotion of the start of our show. You'll hear that at 12:30. We'll keep rocking the calls. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. Thanks to Howard. Again, brought to us by our friends at Fingers, Wings, and other things. Back with more on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.